We are thankful for the day the Lord has made for us. And if any of you are like me and have a little bit of an allergy thing going on from the wet and the dry heat and everything like that, blessings and prayers go with you. Sometimes it takes us walking through the same thing to fully understand some of the obstacles of the season. So we do have our gentlemen in the corners with the microphones. If you have anything you'd like to bring before us as the brothers and sisters in Christ to lift up with prayer for you, go ahead and put your hand up. If you have a moment of joy you want to share with us from this week, go ahead and raise your hand.
Mine is an announcement. I'm probably a little early for that. I have two announcements. One is that the Handbells Peals of Praise are playing at Stonegate Tuesday at 6. I hope I got the right time. 6 o'clock, if anybody's interested. We can't do church, obviously, because Crystal's kind of obligated during the Advent season, so we will be there. Also, I'd like another bittersweet announcement. Our lovely Virginia is moving to Harbor Beach come Wednesday to live with her daughter. And she's been such an important part of this church. I do have the daughter's address if anybody needs it for anything. Just want to let you know.
On Wednesday. This Wednesday. Oh, boy. We waited till the last minute to hear about that, didn't we?
Thank you, everyone. And Merry Christmas.
All right. How about, yeah. Well, in this moment, obviously, there's so many people in Virginia that are probably going to be stopping you before you get home, so I hope you're not in a hurry to get home because they're going to have a few things to say to you. However, maybe we could, after service, as we've done when we know some people are leaving our community, that maybe we could just have a moment to celebrate with you before you leave. So we'll try to do that maybe at the end and have some prayer for us, okay? Because obviously, we're always going to be your neighbors around the corner, but we just won't probably see you every week. So we'll do that at the end of service, okay? Thank you. Anyone else?
We have a joy. Mallory was getting testing done on a lump on her foot, and basically it's been inconclusive, but they're leaning towards it being benign, so we are rejoicing in that, and just continued prayers that stays that way. And also, if you could say some prayers, Thursday she goes in for tonsils, adenoids, and that big old surgery, so...
All right, well, let's go ahead and celebrate the good news, right? So you take that worry off the table, and just as we continue to pray for Mallory going forward. Can we celebrate that there wasn't any reason for concern of that spot on Mallory's foot? Yeah. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for, and we just have to give hallelujahs and praise to Lord for all those blessings and mercies. And Bob, you had something?
Upper rooms are here for January and February, so be sure you pick one up. There's lots of them. Remember D-Cubed, the discipline of daily devotions, maybe 6 minutes, a prayer, a scripture, a thought. It's easy to do first thing in the morning, so be sure you pick one up. Thanks.
Well, Bob, for those people that might not understand that you're our constant reminder for those things, why is it so important for us to have a daily devotion to start our day off with and have that time?
Precisely to start it off the right way.
Oh, sorry, I took the... sorry.
Yeah, no, to start your day the right way. Maybe 5 or 6 minutes, that's all it takes. Keep it by your bed or keep it on the table. That's the first thing I do in the morning, except I read about 4 different ones, so...
And what are we supposed to do with those when we're done? We don't just put those in the trash, do we? We want to pass those on or bring them back to the office so we can redistribute them to people that are shut in
that'd be a good
prison
idea.
Ministries. So we don't want to put them away in the trash bucket when we're done. At least bring them back to
that sounds
service.
Good too.
So, yeah.
We run out quickly, so be sure you pick one up for you.
Well, can't you tell when we rehearse something that's scripted beforehand and when we don't? Right? No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for our daily devotions to allow God to start our day off in a righteous and holy way. Anyone else? Do we have another one over here? Bill?
Here, I'm up.
Can we leave that out there? All right. Here you go.
Okay. I'm always prayers. About a year ago, I prayed for the children in Aleppo, and I asked for everybody else to pray for them. You probably don't remember. And Aleppo is a little town in Syria, and when I prayed for... The buses, there must have been 40 buses show up to take the, it's a real war-torn city, and 40 buses or so showed up and took a whole bunch of children away from there. And I heard the news But I haven't heard it confirmed by anybody. The Russians are pulling out of Syria and saying that ISIS is defeated. So let us pray that that's true.
Let's continue praying for our world and the hurt and the strife that is all amongst it. Yes, thank you for reminding us of the things that go beyond our borders sometimes. Anyone else? No? I do have a prayer request. Melissa's not here today. Her uncle that she's invited us to pray for did pass away in the early hours of the night. So please undertake for Melissa and her family as they continue to go through what happens next. So thank you for those prayers and continued for those. Anyone else? No? Any announcements that aren't printed in the bulletin other than the handbell choir Tuesday at Stonegate at 6 o'clock? No? Any birthdays this week? Well, Julia, last week, did you try to skate by and not have a sing? We could have sang during the kids program when everybody was here and had their voices together. All right, 12 on Wednesday, huh? How's it feel? Different from 11? Oh, last Wednesday. It was last Wednesday, yeah. Anyone else? Today's Mallory's third birthday. All right. And Papa's birthday, you said? Tomorrow. All right. Anyone else? Tuesday. That's a significant information for us, isn't it? It's Tuesday. We're celebrating a birthday. That's a good thing. Anyone else? It's a great week for birthdays. Nope. Linda?
Friday.
Wow. We're almost filling in the whole week here. Anybody else got one coming up?
Janie has one on Thursday.
All right. I was kind of kidding, but I think we got a Wednesday open. Anybody got a Wednesday? I'm filling her up. We got a lot of birthdays. I'm going to have to stand back so we can make sure we get everybody in. Let's go ahead and sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Janie, it seemed like no matter where I stood, I saw you doing one of these, so we couldn't see where you were at. Any anniversaries we're celebrating this week? Any anniversaries? Okay, let us go ahead and hand things over to our talented and choir here so they can start us off and prepare a place for us in worship. That wherever we go, no matter where we are not alone. God is with us, yesterday, today, and for all the days before us. Let us join in opening prayer. Would you join me together as we ask for the Lord's blessing on our gathering together today? Almighty God, Creator with love and affection, grace and mercy in your breath, we give you thanks and endless praise for this moment that you've set aside for us, Lord, that you brought us to this place. You've allowed us to turn our radio dial to this place to join together. Lord, we love you and we ask that you would take joy in all that is said and is lifted up, both in song and in word today, Lord, and prayer, that you would be able to come into our lives, that we would have an open space, that we would remind ourselves that you belong at the beginning of our day. Lord, to open our hearts to whatever it is that you have for us, that we would walk in the footsteps that you've laid before us, Lord. We would do all these things to please you so that this world would know the arrival of the Messiah changes everything and gives new life. In Christ's powerful name we ask, amen. Okay, could we please stand if you're able? And as you're standing, we'll sing together this song of our season, number 238, Angels We Have Heard on High. Again, stand if you're able, number 238, Angels We Have Heard on High. Amen. You may be seated. As we find our seats today and those moments, we're going to go ahead and flip forward if you're using the hymnal, and we're going to sing together as we find our seats, The First Noel. We're going to sing all the verses, number 245, The First Noel. Amen. And in those moments, we're so reminded in this great song of our faith and what it meant that it wasn't simply the arrival of any old person. There's something special about the birth of the Messiah, the circumstances that surrounded it, the miracles that surrounded it, and the miracles that would go forward, and how we are all changed. Can we understand when we sing those words, we're reminded that those great kings, those great gifts that were given, they were humbly given to a child. Would we humbly surrender this time? Let it go before some of our traditions and our busyness, that we surrender our lives in this season of waiting of Advent on the arrival of this child into this world, into our lives, in our church, in our community. At this moment, we'd like to ask our Advent friends up, for Connie and Bob to come on up today and help us with our Advent candle reading today.
While Connie's coming up, the Advent wreath, Linda Schramm was telling me today, it was a tradition from way back in the 15th century. And it provides light, which is our hope. And that's what Jesus Christ was, the light of the world that God sent to us. So today we're going to light three of the candles, two purple and one pink. The next Sunday we'll light all four. And next Sunday night we'll light the Christ candle in the middle with all of them. This is the third Sunday in Advent. Today we light two purple candles and a pink one. The first Sunday we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday we lit the candle of love. Today we light the candle of joy. One thing that happens as we get ready to celebrate Christ's birth is we expect to be happy all the time. Joy is not the same as happy. Joy is a deeper feeling created by knowing that God cares for us. Joy is remembering that God sent Jesus so we'd always know of God's care. During Advent, we pray that we remember again God's gift of Jesus to the world and know the joy that gift brings to all people.
Joy.
There you go. The joy of to the world. God sent his son, Jesus Christ.
When we look at the third candle, we remember God's promise of joy. God promised to send a Savior to the people. Today, we read from the Gospel of John. In the scripture, we read that John was sent by God not to be the light, but to testify to the light. This reminds us that Jesus brings light to the world. And where there is light, there is joy and peace and assurance. When the world seems dark, scary, and frightening, we are reminded that Jesus brought light and that brought joy.
The scripture reading today is from John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light.
Think about a time or a situation where things were dark. This could mean things were literally dark. In the middle of the night, when a noise scares us, for instance, or it could be we felt darkness such as time, and when we are frightened and feel alone and hopeless. Now remember how it feels to have a light. either physically experiencing light that breaks apart the darkness of feeling comfort and joyful because our feelings of darkness have ended.
Dear God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the joy of remembering Jesus' birth brings to us today. Help us to live in such a way that our words and our actions help others to know the joy you give.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Connie, we'd like to thank you and Bob together today. As you find your way to your seats, Bob, there was a bit of information that I found out recently, and I was hoping you might be able to shed some light on that. I can tell by your face that we didn't talk about this before, so we're going to try it again. But you know, there were so many seasons that you were sitting beside the Advent candle playing some music, but to actually be able to do this. Now, that Advent candle was dedicated in some very important precious names. Could you tell us a little bit of history based on, one, you told us a little bit why it's so important, but why is that so important to you, the Advent candle?
Sure. I think most of you remember that new Charlene. Charlene's dad was a Methodist minister who came to my church back in Pontiac, and he was there for 15 years. He was a wonderful man, and of course, that's where I met Charlene. We started going together in high school, and then Char went off to Albion, and I went to Michigan, and we graduated in June. She graduated in May, I graduated in June. And on June 28th, we got married. We both had jobs here in Pontiac at that time. And then the best thing that ever happened to us was we knew Char's folks were retiring, and they had a place on Lake Huron. We started coming up to Lake Huron in 1954. And her folks eventually built the house, and I'm still staying there today when it's comfortable. And I just loved this country. So when things got nasty in Pontiac back during the riots in 68, 69, I was teaching in Pontiac, and I said to Char, our boys were little. I said, I don't want our kids going to these schools. How could I take a paycheck from a school district that I don't want my kids to go to? So we knew our folks were going to retire. So we made the most wonderful choice. We moved up to Sandusky. Never regretted it, never looked back. I miss Pontiac in a way, but I'm so happy that this has been my home. Anyway, we had an Advent candle at our church in Pontiac, and so Char and I decided we'd get this and give it to the church because it's so important. And what does it represent? Light, the light of the world that is Jesus Christ. And that's why we do this particular procedure each year, to remind us that Christ is the light of our life. Okay?
That did pretty good for a spur of the moment thing, didn't it? No, we're thankful for those stories and those legacies and those little things that we might not know if we didn't take time to learn some of our history. And our history helps shape us, so we're thankful for that. Could we sing together to separate us from our Advent time before we move on to our children's time? We'll sing the first verse of What Child Is This? Again, solid that time there for our Advent season. Could we have our children come up today? Do we have any kids that are with us? Let's have them come on up as we like to have this time together. And, oh boy, it seems like we had a lot of things to look forward to the last couple of weeks, didn't we? But we had the children's program last week. So So there's not so much intensive downstairs, right? We go down there today. So I wonder what you'll be singing today, because didn't you sing a lot of the same songs to try to practice and get ready over the next couple of weeks? You guys did a great job, by the way. Hey, how many of you were in the kids program last week? You know what? Do you think this might be a great time to maybe ask the congregation, how many of you were at the children's program last Sunday? Can you raise your hand? Can we celebrate again with them just briefly to let them know how much we really appreciated their program last week? Yeah. Oh, my. So it wasn't a good time for her to be able to make it. So we should hope that she gets a little bit better, right? Yeah, it was definitely a good program to get missed, but we'll remember Grandma in our time. We're thankful for those that were here and for your effort and those kind of things. And one of the things that we've been trying to make a good effort for this year since we started school again was scripture memorization. Does anybody want to take a try at our scripture verse for this month? I know it's tough because we had the program. Do you want to try it? Go ahead. Oh, you didn't want to try it. Do you want to just read it for us out loud so it'll be a different voice? Isn't that amazing? And did you hear, and I know some of you are here, but I know the lights were on you, but Sunday night's program was really special. And that's why we had the adults show you how many they were here tonight. We know some other friends and family that aren't normally with us on Sunday were here. But you know what's so important? Because each of you have a very special voice. And it's different than mine. It's different than Miss Aaron's. It's different from everyone's around the entire church, right? So Jesus wants us to use what voice and talents that we have to tell other people how much we love Jesus. And when they see how much that we love Jesus and how much joy it brings us, like Mr. Bob and Miss Connie shared with us today, they're going to want to know what that's all about. And we get a chance to share with them what we've learned, both up here and downstairs and for our children's program. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that's kind of an exciting thing, isn't it, to be able to share Jesus with people? We don't want to keep it to ourselves. Can we go ahead and continue to work on this? But let's go ahead and pray for the things that we've learned in the past and the things that we will learn today and all the ways we will continue to learning about how God loves us through Jesus every single day that we invite Jesus into our life. Can we do that? Let's go ahead and get in our prayer positions. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands. And will you guys say these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much every day. Help us learn more and to celebrate your love for us. Bless everyone here and our time at Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, I usually get confused because we've had to move the set up and down. Do you have the flag, or is the flag back over here? Do you have? Okay, good. All right. I always look over to Russ, and I see a panic sign. Like, I don't know. We thought we knew where it was. So go ahead and let's line up together today, and we'll have, wait for the flag to lead us on the way down. All right. And Miss Paula, are you going to play some different music today, or are we just going to stick with the ones that they've been rehearsing? All different today, okay. So blessings as the children go downstairs today. We shared a little bit of story and history today for our Advent candle lighting and where that came from. But now we'd like to welcome Dee to come up, Dee Dee Stone, and to share with us as we're winding down the end of the year. Again, if you have something that you thought, I might be interested in saying, or maybe you have something else that is really neat worth sharing, please get with Russ, and we'll see if we can't find a space and a time for us to share this, because our story, our voices are so important for ourselves and for everyone to hear. So we're going to hand things over for this special time that we've had. Dee Dee, go ahead.
Hello. My name's Deanna Stone. Some of you might know me when I was young as Dee Dee. And if you're a good friend of mine, you might call me Dee. So any of those are fine. I have some really good memories. This is my story, by the way. I was asked to tell my Christian story. And my story includes many of you. I forgot to put this in there, but I wanted to say that one of my very fondest memories of the church is actually Linda Schramm sitting back here. She's always got a smile on her face when she sings the songs and whatnot, so I'm very grateful that the choir's here, and she's part of my story. Let's see. I guess it begins with my grandma and grandpa Hall. I think they were the reason that I went to Sunday school. I'm not exactly sure. Got to remember that, you know, memories aren't as vivid as they used to be. But I think that's why I ended up going to Sunday school. I'm very grateful that I did. So some of my first memories of Sandusky First United Methodist Church include Crystal Barber and God's Kids. I love singing and performing for other churches and in here. It was a great time. We had our little uniforms, our white little button-down shirts, the plaid vest and skirts. We had a fun time, and I felt like I had a purpose and a belonging. Other memories include Gala Eagle and the youth group showing up at my door one morning in her motorhome. We made breakfast in the church kitchen in our jammies. In those days, the kitchen was in the basement too, and the youth group met at the parsonage, which was next door, so things have changed. That motorhome took us to Ichthus too. It was a rainy, muddy mess, but we had fun listening to some great Christian music when we went. For many years, I didn't go to church. Then I had a son and felt the calling of God again. I guess I felt like I needed to teach him about God and his salvation. We moved home after a divorce, and eventually I returned to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. I would drop Taylor off downstairs in the basement in the opening room for Children's Sunday School, where Paula Huber played the piano and Michelle Seaman would lead them in singing and pledge the Christian flag and the Lord's Prayer and so on. I think Julie Campbell was his teacher. I'm not sure. You got to remember, memory kind of eludes me, but I think she was his teacher or one of them. And I wanted to thank you all for planting that seed. I truly appreciate it. So while Taylor was downstairs at Sunday school, I headed to adult Sunday school. That was in Wesley Hall. It was there that Audrey Labor said to us that we had to be, we needed to be quiet and have silence in order to hear God. I still hear her voice saying that every now and then, which is very comforting. I would call her sometimes when in need of prayer, because you see, Audrey Labor is known as our prayer warrior. Adult Sunday school, we had many great conversations. I'll never forget, Dan Huber had the best sayings. I wish I remembered them, but I don't. All I know is they made us laugh until we both peed our pants, and they became known as Danisms. So I really do miss that. That was great. Back then, we used to greet each other at the beginning of church, and I'll never forget Paula Huber giving me a big hug one day. She made me feel welcomed and that everything would be okay. Back then, Pastor Don Gotham was leaving and Pastor Grenfeld was our interim pastor. He asked me to head up a church-wide Bible study called the 40 Days of Purpose. It was based on a book, A Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. There was many, many, many of you that had a big part in that, and I feel that that was a really great time in our church. It was at that time that I met Tom and Bobby Frohner. We began work on the Sunday School Basement Project, guided by Deb Tank. She was the head of the children's ministry at that time. Bobby, Tom, and I had some really wonderful conversations. It was on October 9, 2005, that Taylor and I were baptized here in this church. It was very meaningful because, first of all, we had to kind of check the church records to see, was I baptized, wasn't I? I didn't remember. And it was really nice to do that with Taylor, my teenage son at the time. That was fun. About that time, Pastor Colin and his family were coming. So we were preparing the parsonage. I was painting Joel's room, and this older guy came in, and he was helping paint too. I told him how my Aunt Barb had tried to set me up with his friend, which he replied, well, I'm glad that that didn't work because I want to date you. I'm here painting, and I'm like, all I could think of was, I'm in this house all alone with this guy. Am I safe? So anyway, we all know how that ended after being married to Richard Stone for 11 great years now. Our wedding included many of you. It started out Aunt Barb and my cousin DJ set up Wesley Hall for our reception. Crystal Barber made the centerpieces out of wheat from our fields, pears from the home farm, and apples from Richard's backyard. Gordy Landsberg took tons and tons of pictures. Bob Stashek played piano. Pastor Colin performed the ceremony. We served wedding cake that my stepmom Marge and stepsister Patty had made the following morning at fellowship in order to celebrate our wedding with all of you. You see, that's what you are. You're my family. I bet you didn't know that we were family, did you? But we are. We're all family. You've been there for me in good times and in bad. I know that I can turn to you if needed. You've helped me raise my son, brought Richard and I together. You lend a listening ear or give a hug right at the right time. The problem is that some of you stopped coming to church. I did too for a while, and that's another story for another day. In the meantime, there's been many who have, and I'm going to ask those people to return to church because I miss you. In the meantime, there have been new people that have joined our church and our church family, which I'm very grateful for. I'm grateful for everything God has given me, including you, because again, you are my church family. I'm Deanna Stone, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Many amazing stories. I don't think one has been one that we're like, I could have done without that. Am I right? I mean, all these stories have been very significant. And I think sometimes when I'm able to look around and see the vantage point when Dee Dee is calling out, or Deanna, or I'm sorry, I missed the qualifications of who can call you Dee Dee and Dee. And, but having those opportunities of knowing the significant moments in our lives, she's harking back to it was you. It was us, it was the church. During those significant moments of life, this is the constant. And it might have looked a little bit different, or there might have been some different people in different places, but this was always the constant. For the good things in her life, she can see the Lord reveals all these things to her in time. You are part of that revelation. I hope you remember that for a moment today. That even there in the unknowns or the twists and turns, part of God's revelation in one young lady's life, part of that revelation was you. Could we please join together in doing something else as a body of Christ? Could we please join together and say these words that we've been faithfully saying for many, many years and will continue to do so? Would you join me as one body and one voice to say aloud the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we move forward to one of the great things we look forward to in our life of worship and the gifts that are being offered to our choir presenting for us today, another anthem.
As I'm in the process of organizing the choir music, the most joyful choir anthem I have come across so far is the one we're singing today. It's called Festive Alleluia.
Thank you for that message that meets us right where we are today. With that upbeat music on there and the several smiles that came from your faces, it was pretty easy. I didn't look out in this way, but was anyone else smiling pretty big when you could tell that there was a lot of joy coming from our talented choir? We're thankful for that. And it certainly is something to take a lot of joy in, because it's exciting when we have this life-changing news and we have so much to say. I'm reminded, and I have to go back saying reminded, because I don't think I was around in black and white television days. Do you know what I mean with that? That there was a change, and I think I was part of that color television change. But in a lot of historic television shows are recreating a lot of those black and white moments. Sometimes in the news of the day, there was a newspaper. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's an actual text paper, you know, and it has several places in it. It tells us some of the current events and stories and things like that. If you're unfamiliar with it, then ask someone older than me, and they'll tell you all about the importance of the newspaper. But, you know, they would show us with these kids, right, that would have this energy. And some of it, I think, is because, do you remember when you were a kid that you could be given, like, a quarter, and you would, like, do whatever you needed to do for an hour because this quarter was a big deal? I'm thinking, if somebody gave me a quarter now, I probably wouldn't put as much effort into it as maybe my 7-year-old self, because I'd really be like, really? This is a quarter. But as a child, you're like, money! I can do something with this. But you remember the newsboy kids? They even had got caps that are named after them. They would have these stack of papers, right? And they would just holler, right? Sometimes even be obnoxious. I don't think they meant to be, but they just wanted to get your attention. Hey, hey, news, news. They would tell you the headline. I have this important things to share for you. And so I'm reminded when the choir sang that song for us today, we got an exciting headliner for this world. We got an exciting headline for the community, for our families not to miss. The King is coming. He's arriving to us very soon. God will make known to us the roads before us. Come and see the newborn King. And this moment in our service is always interesting, this time of year when we celebrate together, because there are so many things that we have great traditions for, and so much scripture that is favored there during this season. And we've been taking a look a little bit about John, which is interesting because John has a story time-wise that really parallels with a lot of miracles and mystery. And of course, we know that John will become John the Baptist, the herald of forerunner for Christ, and the spirit of Elijah that we have here. But it's interesting because sometimes we'd like to see, you know, that the Lord was weaving something very important, very special. And when we start talking about prophetic words or trying to have these things, it reminds us of the faithfulness of God to all that God said God's going to do. Don't you think it's important, whether it's a small thing or it's a big thing, that it's important that promises are kept? Do you think it's very interesting for us, especially in a time of questioning, or maybe as Connie shared for us during the Advent candle lighting, maybe it's a literal or figurative time of darkness in our life. Isn't it good to know that we can look at any one of the promises throughout Scripture and see that they are being fulfilled? We have no reason to question that the Lord's faithfulness will arrive in His time, in God's way. This scripture comes from still the first chapter of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, and it goes over the birth of John the Baptist. And this goes from chapter 1 in Luke's Gospel, verse 57 through 66. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Verse 58. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown His great mercy to her, and they rejoiced together with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. This was friends and family. And they were going to name him Zechariah, after his father, of course. Now, verse 60 tells us, but his mother said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, well, none of your relatives have this name. They began motioning for Zechariah, who, remember, couldn't speak at the time. And they asked for a writing tablet so Zechariah could respond to them. He wrote on the writing tablet, his name is John. And all of them were stood back in amazement. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was open and he was able to have a free tongue. See, Zechariah was then able to speak in those moments. And he began to speak, praising God. Fear came all over all of their neighbors as these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. And finally, in verse 66 this morning, all who heard them pondered with them and said, what then will this child become? For indeed the hand of God was with them. It's an amazing thing to hear about the birth narrative. It's an amazing thing to think about for those of us who are parents, to recall some of the details, whether maybe some of them were funny or some of them maybe not so funny, of the details of the birth of our children. You know, all the unknowns, all the things, all the circumstances that happened. And sometimes one of the sitcom tropes that are most entertaining to us sometimes is the hilarity or situations that sometimes ensue, right, of a time leading up to the birth of a child. Because it's such a precious moment, but it seems like there are so many things that go before this. Now, here's this moment that we see, as the message says, his name is John. And this is one of those moments when I want to peel back for just a second and have us think about this, that John's gospel reminds us that if even a fraction of their days were gathered, we would fill endless tomes of the experiences that the people had with Christ, okay? So we're looking at all these things, and again, a gospel writer, yet Luke includes this moment here, this naming situation for us, because in all the many things that Luke tells us, Luke wants the significance of this birth narrative and this story to mean something for us. And I have to move that back a little bit because I was so... an impression, I suppose, was made on me for, again, those of you who are here for the United Methodist Women District event, is they were talking that there were several stories, there were several places in Scripture when a female kind of raised the front and center in this moment, and it kind of allowed them to really see that if we look back into Scripture, the Lord did some amazing things to men with men and women involved. But there are certain instances, because of the situation that we lived in, because of the culture we were in, that sometimes it's highlighted when we see the work of a woman here, because just basically it wouldn't always be highlighted. Sometimes they weren't given a name. And in this moment, we can see that Zechariah was a priest, right? He had some stature. He had a name. And in this moment, Elizabeth's given a name too. And it's important that when all the family and relatives gather together, right, there's tradition. Okay, some of us have traditions where if we have long-standing traditions, maybe sometimes the child in our families, all of them come home in a certain outfit, right? Or they all have to get a picture taken by the same, you know, mantle and things. We just have all these traditions. Well, here's a long-standing tradition that were hundreds of years old, that it was a name, right? And in this name, it would be different because there weren't so many last names like we know in our culture now. It was more of these first names. And so everyone, friends and family, were coming on the eighth day to Zechariah's house because they were expecting, okay, we're gonna follow this tradition. We're going to name him Zechariah. He's going to become a priest one day and follow in dad's footsteps and do the family business. It's a blessed crossing of a T. Can you understand that? That sometimes you just expect things to go a certain way. And so they gather here, and here's this moment when the person who Elizabeth is really shines. And it says they were all gathered around and expecting to name the child Zechariah after his dad. In verse 60, it says, Elizabeth said, no, he is to be called John. Now remember, Zechariah was struck, unable to speak. His tongue was silenced because, sure enough, in the presence of an angel, right, said, you shall have a son, even though your wife's womb is barren, we talked about last week, and you'll name him John. Just like many of you, I have to say, I might have been like, there's a couple of things I'm going to need you to explain just a little bit further. But as soon as Zechariah asked, how can this be, started to question what God was going to do, he was no longer able to speak. It's like a clamp was put on his tongue and he couldn't form words anymore. And so he was literally having to communicate through signs or through gestures. So here's this moment when they're coming about. Zechariah can't talk for whatever reason, even though he continued to say it was part of a divine intervention. But here's this moment where he's kind of sitting off to the side, right? We can see this kind of picture, and they're going through the motions. Hey, Zechariah, we got this taken care of. We'll go ahead and do it. We know how we name the kid. We do all these things. And here's this moment when Elizabeth says, oh, wait a minute. We're not going to go through with this, no matter how much you're all kind of vouching for this, how many you're all going towards this routine. My son's name is going to be John. Now, this disturbed the people because they're like, wait a minute, this isn't what we expected, this is what we wanted, this isn't what how it's supposed to go. I mean, you have this bright, you know, line, family line of priests, and priest things are a very proper thing, right? It'd be kind of like when our, you know, for lack of a better term, if our childs were supposed to be doctors, right? I mean, is that one of the top five things that people say they hope their kid turns out to be, as a doctor or something like that? You're supposed to be a doctor. You're supposed to be a priest of the faith. This is a good thing. Mom, why are you stepping on that? Elizabeth comes out in this way of courage, which reminds me that's probably one of the factors that led to God choosing them. because Elizabeth was going to do what was right and pleasing to God, even if it upset some family and friends. So she advocates for, no, we are calling him John. And then, because remember, it's the times, everyone kind of went, let's ask Zechariah what his thoughts are, because really his is the vote that counts. And so Zechariah asks for a tablet, and he scribbles it down because he can't talk, and kind of reveals to them and says his name is going to be John. Actually, it doesn't even say his name is going to be John. It said his name is John, so the decision's already there. Immediately after his faithfulness of exactly what he questioned the angel, how is this going to be? Mute button. As soon as he affirmed, my son will be called John, the mute button was taken off. And all those boundaries that Zechariah knew are now open. And the first thing he did was praise God and celebrate all the things that were done here. And it's in this moment when we're looking at this naming convention, it's really interesting because what we didn't cover in Scripture today, but if we're familiar with the story, there's a time during that 9 months when Elizabeth was pregnant with John that Mary came, right? We know Mary. Mary came to spend 3 months or so with Elizabeth, and here's this moment. Here are these two unlikely candidates from these miracle moments, and I'm sure if we look at both their stories, it might take a divine miracle within you to maybe communicate to someone else who's experiencing a divine miracle, because so many people just, you can't fathom it. You can't put it into words. But here these two are, right? Family brought together by this common, the world will be shaped and changed by both of your sons. They are both very important. They are both sent with purpose and set apart for God. So here's this moment where they share this together. Elizabeth speaks up faithfully. Now, why is it such a big deal? Could God have worked what John the Baptist was supposed to be? Imagine we just called him Zechariah the Baptist. It doesn't change the work that's there, but here's this moment when it's different about a name, because we see that Jesus had changed some names, and God changed some names in the Old Testament of people when they were called after God. So here's this moment when Zechariah was a priest, but remember, John was a prophet that was foretold. So he's not going to continue on in the family business. John's going to do something entirely different. And this is a way to kind of shout to the world. John's not going to be a priest like his dad or his dad's before them, his grandpa. John's going to be something different. So don't expect him to do these things. Zechariah had a prominent position being one of the priests in this Mecca area, you know, the big city around all these people. And it was foretold John would grow up in the wilderness, and there'd be limitations on his life. Again, walking a different path than his dad did. See, because Zechariah would go and he would preach in the temples that were full of all the people, and they had everything they could possibly want. To a certain extent, we might know this as the religious elite. John the prophet that was forerunning for Christ, the Savior of this world, he went to the outsides of the busy cities and found those that were forgotten or maybe didn't have a voice or no family at all. We remember this time in Scripture when Jesus said he came to heal the sick, not to minister to the healthy. So in these moments, when we see these opportunities here, John was set apart from the world. In the final verse, it said, all who heard and pondered all these things said, what then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with them. Now when we look at what holiness is, we're reminded in our Wesleyan tradition that part of our grace is we celebrate is sanctification. That means there's this holiness, right? There's this journey to go before of what we were before, maybe, or in our early stages of our relationship with Christ, as we continue to move towards perfection. And this idea of sanctification moves us towards John was set apart from his family line for what the world thought that John should and would be. His name set him aside, and break what you're thinking, because I'm something different. John was set aside in that he didn't have all the luxuries that would come from the Mecca city, but John grew up in the wilderness and survived on meager accommodations. In this moment, we can also see this mirrored in this way, so that no one who would be able to proclaim Christ would also realize that there was no special privilege or set of circumstances that would give us a great voice. that some of the great voices could come, as we've heard from some of these stories, from the most unlikely of places and situations. I would submit this to you because why are we spending so much time on John? John was so important for the miracle of Christ to arrive here. Someone had to go before and talk about that three-letter word, sin. The one that's difficult to say sometimes, the one that's difficult to talk about. We have to say sin real quick. We can say it very fast because we want to talk about God's love revealed to us through Christ. But my dear friends, in this moment, Zechariah was a priest. And he was a generational priest, right? So, I mean, he knew that we should stay away from these things. But even as best as we try, John, to be a prophet and forerunner for Christ, even had to be removed from his home because there are still times when there's sometimes some unhealth or there's sometimes patterns or behaviors of sin that sometimes we don't even recognize. Some we may, some we don't. And I would ask that in this season, we'd ask ourselves, I ask me, you ask you, ask each other, how are we going to set ourselves apart from this world? How would we live in it yet forsake the whims of this world, the calls of what the world would speak into our ears? Sort of like Audrey reminded you, Dee Dee, you have to be quiet and give a space for God. God does and always will show up. But are we creating a space and setting our lives apart from God or apart from this world and asking the question, is there room for the Christ child in our life? Bobby mentioned daily devotions. Will it be priority enough for there to be space in our lives, in our routines, for Christ to be born again in our lives? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John reminds us that we have to be set apart from this world, that we have to be set apart from God, and God will use us and use each other to herald the coming of Christ in hearts, in lives of our church, of our homes, in our world, in our community. And we give thanks and praise for that prophetic statement that could live even through us. I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward today as we give our tithes and our offerings and we think of the blessings that God has already given to us. They're abundant and overflow. And God in his justice would see that we would give just a portion of those gifts. Praise God. Almighty God, in your presence we submit these gifts. And Lord, we'd ask that you would be able to see them, meet the needs that are before us and our ministry in this church. And Lord, that lives would be reached and lives would be changed, not for us, but for your name's sake, so that they would come to realize the great gift and the arrival of Christ and their lives in this world will always bring. Lord, bless the houses from which they came and reward their faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Could I ask you to find your seats real quick for just a moment? And just kind of a header that when we do sing Silent Night, we'll just sing one in verse 1 and 4, the first and last one, okay? And Ryan, when it comes up, we'll just do the first and last verse, okay? And this, now that we're off the radio, Virginia, could we have you maybe come up here? Could we do that? Is that okay? It might take a second. Do you feel comfortable or no? Sorry, I should have asked beforehand. We didn't find out. We didn't know that you were going to be leaving us on Wednesday. Is that okay? If you'd like to sit there, that's fine, okay? So what I'm going to do is Linda, Virginia's just going to stay there, okay? And Linda Stram's going to come over because not only is she one of our lay servants, but also she is part of our Thursday craft group. And so she knows better than a lot of us that each and every one of those threads has been prayed over and been celebrated. And I hope you will welcome this prayer shawl from the church family to you and understanding that no matter where you go, Virginia, no matter what experiences you have, it might be down the road a little ways, but Virginia, we love you, and we're going to miss you. And even in the weeks when we knew you were just healing at home, we could never say how much we appreciate you sitting there. And I know the shoemakers appreciate every time that you held off that pew and you beat everybody off with a stick and said, that is the shoemaker's pew. So you guys are going to have to find a new way. But in this moment, we are thankful for the opportunity of all those times and those years, and your faithfulness has been a bright light in this congregation. In Virginia, on one hand, we are so sorry and our hearts are saddened that you're not going to be here every week with us. But we also know how important family is, and we know it's going to be a wonderful gift this time of year, one that won't fit under the tree for you to be with your family and for you guys to take care of each other. And we just sincerely hope that before we go to prayer for you in this journey that will come quick, Wednesday's going to come quick, that you would always remember those threads. It would represent those people in the Sandusky First United Methodist Church that we go with you, and you'll take a piece of us when you go to Harbor Beach. Dear friends, I'm going to ask, because I know we didn't have her get up here, it's a little embarrassing, but could you just put your hands over and we'll look over in her way? Would you join me in this moment of prayer for sending and safety? Gracious God, in your great love, in your great knowledge, in your great wisdom, you sent Virginia to us and our community. You allowed her to live here with us, share testimony with us, Lord, and to just be an example of what faithfulness and a humble spirit looks like. Lord, we thank you for that lesson that can only come from someone like Virginia. Lord, we ask that you would guide and make safe the pathways and the journeys that she has, both moving and out to Harbor Beach and the new adjustment. Lord, we know that you've been here every single day of her life, and you will continue to surround her. It will just be in a different zip code, Lord. As we lift our hands up, we ask that you would allow her to feel the love from this place and this community, that we will miss her so much when she's gone, and there will always be a place for her should she want to come and visit. Lord, we thank you for Virginia's life. We ask for traveling mercies as she prepares to go to Harbor Beach, and we'd ask for boundless blessings that we can't even fathom that will come to her and her family in this new journey. Lord, would she always continue to live in the shadow of the cross and take that prayer shawl with her so that she would know how much Sandusky First United Methodist Church loves her today and will love her still. In Christ's powerful and matchless and faithful name we pray. Amen. Can we celebrate for a second, Virginia's time with us, and celebrate and go forward? We are so in the season of anticipation of what's coming next. Dear friends, does that hit us exactly where we are today? What's coming next? What is God going to do? God knows. Will we trust his faithful promises? Would you please now stand with me and sing, if you're able? We'll sing verse 1 and verse 4 of Silent Night. when we think about the powerful lullabies and songs that we sing, this was simply meant to remind us of the peace that only God can bring us, the peace that we know and experience, and the peace that this world and all of its brokenness should allow to cover them. Could we go forward desiring to set ourselves apart from this sinful world, or to honor you and to bring light and life to the people you put in our path? Could we go forward in this holy task, encouraged and empowered by the Spirit of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Amen.
Revealing God to them through our Spirit in Christ Jesus. Go today in peace.